In today's episode, Maureen tells me why she's so passionate about helping other parents after one of her daughters was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, after an earlier diagnosis of neuroblastoma, which is a form of cancer. Maureen gives a unique perspective as a mother, a paediatrician, and a life coach. She has made it her life mission to help parents navigate their way through their own challenging journey, knowing that they're not alone. There is someone who's been through a similar ordeal, survived, and came through the other side, who can now offer valuable insight and support. Maureen and I discuss great parenting tips like remaining curious when your child does something you don't understand or approve of, instead of getting into an argument that, ultimately, no one wins. Have a listen and let me know what you think. Here's Maureen. So, hi Maureen, welcome to my podcast. Let's talk about harm, self-harm. And it's a delight to have you on. And I know that you're a pediatrician.
I am, and I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. So what I have discovered is that these kind of conversations really not just resonate with people, but they actually use it as a source of information.
Yes.
Which is really, really good. And I think ultimately, you know, that's why, you know, you and I do what we do.
Right. Yes.
So, and it's always nice to have experts in that can give a different perspective.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that just by sharing stories, if we all do a better job of listening to each other, there is a lot to learn out there. So I appreciate the work that you do in allowing me the opportunity to share with your audience some of my story and tips and that sort of thing, so that hopefully there is someone who can learn from our conversation today.
Absolutely. So why don't you introduce yourself as to, you know, who you are and how you've become, you know, the person that you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you had said I'm a pediatrician, which I am. My favorite job, though, is that of being a mom. I am the mother to three young adults now. But, you know, I really, from childhood, had two big dreams, the dream of being a mom and the dream of being a doctor. And I am very grateful that I got to be able to accomplish both of those dreams. When I was in my pediatric residency many years ago, my second born child, my daughter, was an infant at the time and was diagnosed with neuroblastoma, which is a type of pediatric cancer. My world kind of came crashing down at that point in time, and we got consumed with chemotherapy and surgery and the whole works. And I went through a roller coaster of emotions. Really, at that stage of my life, was consumed with being overwhelmed and worried and guilty and fearful. And, you know, with time and the support of friends, things got better. And I thought, okay, we have that behind us, that, you know, where we check that box, no bad things are going to happen anymore. Mm-hmm. I then fast forward 12 years later, I got to be the physician who diagnosed my daughter, the same daughter, with type 1 diabetes in a small bathroom at her school. And again, all those emotions came kind of rushing back. I, though, knew I couldn't go back to that dark place that I had experienced years earlier and knew I needed to be very proactive because her diagnosis wasn't going away. There's no cure for type 1 diabetes. So this was going to be part of our lives. And I really sought information to try to help myself and listened to lots of podcasts, became very involved in coaching and receiving coaching. And I knew how beneficial coaching was. I then, a few years later, was in a leadership position at the hospital and wanted to learn more about mentorship and became a certified life coach to help in my role with mentorship. I, though, realized after becoming a certified coach that the tools I had learned in coaching, I was able to use in my clinical practice and really help families who had children with health issues. And, you know, it then in reflecting on my life became this opportunity to turn these challenges into a gift. And I'm now able to really help families who are on a similar journey as me, where they're struggling with health challenges with their children and really helping them, you know, find resiliency and learn courage and get organized in their lives. And I feel very grateful yet again for an opportunity to have a gift that I'm able to share with others.
Yeah. And equally, I think parents would then find it also even easier to open up to someone who actually understands what it is that they're going through and not just from a medical perspective.
Right, absolutely. You know, I have been on both sides of the coin and have been there as a parent trying to advocate for my kid in a healthcare provider's office. But I've also been the healthcare provider who's been listening to parents try to advocate for their kid and going through the stress that's involved in all of that. And it is a unique perspective. And one I've often thought, you know, if a side of the coin was easier, which side would it be? And you know what? Like, there's not an easy side.
No.
That both have its benefits, both have its downsides. That, you know, in my physician role, when I went through all of the stuff with my daughter, I knew right away, like, what her diagnoses meant. And so my brain was off to the races on anticipating all of the bad things that could happen. So being naive in that moment is stressful in a different way, stressful because you don't have the knowledge, but both of those add a layer of stress to a very challenging situation.
Yeah, obviously, because you bear then the double burden, don't you, of knowing medically what that diagnosis then meant for your daughter, and then as a mother and a parent, I'd say the biggest thing we want to do is to protect our children and to keep them safe.
Yes. Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, keeping our kids safe means that our brain is flooding us with all of these, this could happen kind of thoughts. And those thoughts about what the future could look like could either add anxiety to our lives if they're filled with all of the bad things that could happen, or we could choose to fill our head with thoughts of all of these positive could happen kind of things that fill us with a very different set of emotions that can help lead us on this journey of life. So we get to choose. And I think by understanding that we can choose our thoughts and choose what we believe is very empowering.
Yeah, no, I agree. And how is your daughter today? How does she manage?
Yeah, so she now has had type 1 diabetes for the last 11 years. She is an awesome human being. She's an MD, PhD student and is studying autoimmunity. And I will tell you, she will probably figure out what causes type 1 diabetes and how to prevent it. Again, it is a testament that you can turn a real challenge into a gift. And her living with diabetes has really taught her how to eat healthy and be organized and exercise and manage her stress and all of the things that we all should be doing, but her diagnosis forced her to do that. But the other interesting thing that I've had parents ask me about too is she resilient? And I would say yes, because she's watched me and watched how I have been vulnerable at times and demonstrated fear in front of my kids so that they know those emotions that we often classify as negative are part of life. And learning how to manage the physical symptoms of emotions can be very helpful. And kids can learn that by watching their parents.
But what would your advice be to parents who, understandably, in that first instance, feel totally overwhelmed by, such a diagnosis, as well as overwhelmed with, and now what? What do I do now? Because it's not just about helping their child, is it? It's also, seeking help for themselves as well. And
Yes,
that support.
absolutely. And that is the key. Like, you can't do an amazing job of helping your child if you don't first take care of yourself. And as parents, we feel very guilty sometimes on prioritizing ourselves and, spending a few minutes on a regular basis in caring for ourselves, whether it be through journaling or reading or meditating or just, a quiet moment for just a little bit of time. We don't like to prioritize that. And it goes back to what flight attendants tell us on an airplane. They tell us, put your oxygen mask on first, and then you can help somebody else. So that is what I really teach parents now is taking care of yourself is more of a priority when your kid has challenges that they're going through in life because you have to be at your best in order to help them. But, to your point, like, I'm not here to say that those emotions of being overwhelmed or scared or guilty shouldn't happen. They should. That there's not a parent in the world whose kid gets diagnosed with a type of cancer and they're not going to feel some sort of negative emotion at the time. But what I want parents to hear is that those emotions that you experience in the immediate time doesn't need to lead the rest of your life. And, you know, so the way that I explain it is we're all trying to drive a car on our journey in life. And when we have a kid with challenges, whether they be health challenges or mental health challenges or school challenges, that we oftentimes as parents allow those emotions to take over driving the car. And instead, we need to learn how to put those emotions in the trunk of the car so that we're able to really lead ourselves through our lives and have those emotions be part of our journey, not leading us and being consumed in our everyday kind of living.
And so are you saying to counteract those feelings of overwhelm, the more self-care that one practices and takes that time out for themselves, gives themselves permission to step away.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Then the better they will be able to deal with the, you know, onslaught and challenges that they face.
Right. And, you know, just with overwhelm, that particular emotion, I tell folks, you know, when you walk into a really messy, disorganized space, that seeing all of that disorganization makes your brain kind of freak out and like totally overwhelmed, right? The same thing happens when our thoughts aren't organized. And so for that particular emotion, I work with clients and patients on being able to organize your thoughts and really becoming aware of the things that you are thinking, because oftentimes we're not even aware that we're thinking about something and where it's creating emotions that we're acting on. So the first step in that awareness is really writing thoughts down. And so that comes into giving yourself some space to journal and just sit with a blank sheet of paper and writing down your thoughts. Folks often see that a thought keeps coming up day after day, and that recurrence of a thought, you then get to be curious about it and like, why am I thinking this all the time? Do I have to think it? Is it really serving me if I think about this on a regular basis? And so that curiosity then allows us to be able to really pick and choose the things that we are going to believe and create emotions that we're able to act from.
Yeah, no, that's very helpful. And I think what would also be very helpful, and what I get a lot from parents is in those teenage years, confrontation basically, and how to effectively challenge that young person without losing your cool.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, and oh my goodness, let me say right up front that having three kids, they are all three very different individuals and they each know how to press my buttons.
Yeah.
But it again goes back to, you have to be able to understand yourself. And so working on yourself becomes really the foundation for other relationships that you have in your life. So the when you've worked on yourself and you're talking about a relationship with a teenager or young adult, It goes back to if there's saying something that is pushing your buttons and you feel that angst or you feel that anger or frustration, that emotion, and all an emotion is just a physical vibration in our body. And so when we feel those physical symptoms, it's a sign to pay attention to what you're thinking and becoming again aware of your thoughts. The having that awareness in the moment takes practice, but that awareness can help us with maintaining our cool, because we may not approach the child with curiosity if we have that negative emotion stewing up. But curiosity gets us out of trouble a lot of times as a parent. And so when they're pushing our buttons, turning it into a adventure on understanding why are they saying that, or why is my child thinking that, and approaching them with a curious mind can really help with not escalating the conversation and having it be a conversation that is allowing for mutual understanding. But it's also a time for the child to watch the parent and be able to, again, learn from watching. And if the mom or dad needs to, say, okay, I just need a minute to collect my thoughts and take a few breaths, to kind of slow down their heart rate and pay attention to what they're thinking, that's okay. We don't need to be reactionary all the time. That in that moment, taking a breath and collecting yourself is something the child is going to see and learn from.
But that takes a lot of practice, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And so all of the things that I'm talking about, the calming yourself down in the moment, or being aware of your thoughts, or picking thoughts that serve you, there needs to be practice in order to do that in the moment. But it takes that first step to start that practice. And, I'll use the analogy of me and cello. I, for years, loved the cello and had written down as a goal for myself that I want to play cello beautifully. Well, I didn't own a cello. I knew nothing about music. And so after writing this as a goal for several years, I finally said, look, like I have to take a step if I really want to accomplish that goal of playing cello beautifully. And so the first step is, renting a cello, and next step, like hiring an instructor, and next step, practicing a piece to know where my fingers go. And each step is a little bit of progress. Well, parenting is exactly the same, that the becoming aware of your thoughts and managing your emotions and teaching our children by example. These are all important things as a parent that we need to be able to do, but they all take practice, but it all takes a first step in order for that practice even to begin.
So what's the what would you say is the most common issue that parents come to you about?
Yeah, so I would say the most common thing that parents come to me about is about wanting to know how to advocate for their child. And I would say the reason that is because advocating for their child, whether it be in the healthcare provider's office or in the school system, it requires several different skills. The skill of maintaining your emotions, the skill of having courage to disagree with somebody, it takes some organization in order to advocate. So there's lots of different things that go into it, but what a fantastic thing for a parent to be able to teach their child. And it's really that, you know, through advocating for your child that you get better at it. It's not going to go perfectly, just like, you know, going back to cello. When I first started playing, it didn't sound good, but that's okay. I learned from my mistake in cello and have gotten better with time. Same thing goes with advocating for their child, that you're not going to do it perfectly every single time. And that's okay. There is no negativity in failure. That failure is just giving us data to be able to do things a little bit differently next time so that we're able to grow. I would rather fail at something than never do it. And learning that it's okay is a hard thing for some people to overcome.
Yeah, but I think what compounds that is also the fact when we speak about sort of like, you know, authorities like healthcare, educational system, it can also be very daunting and intimidating to actually have to face off with a professional that seems to be an expert in their field. And you have to stand your ground because you're advocating for your child. So that's the most important thing. But, you know, the expert could make you feel very uncertain then of what it is that you're actually advocating for.
Right. And so there are a couple things that I want your audience to hear. And the very first thing is we often put healthcare practitioners or school officials on a pedestal. And I am here to say, as a physician, you're hearing this, that we are human just like everyone else. And so that means we're going to have good days and bad days. We're going to be right about some things. We're going to be wrong about some things. So going into a conversation with one of those officials, when you're thinking that they should be on a pedestal, becomes dangerous. And so understanding they're human, they may have an expertise in a specific area, but they're still human, is a better way to approach the conversation. Because right off the bat, if you think that they're better than you as a parent, that thought creates anxiety as an emotion, and they're already entering the conversation on the wrong kind of footing. The other thing that I would say is something that can be very helpful is writing down what you want to advocate for, or your kind of position or thoughts before the appointment. And the reason that I teach people to do this is that it takes that emotion out of it, that you're able to look at your paper and either read off the paper so that you're not stumbling on your words because emotion's part of it. But it also makes sure that you convey everything that you were thinking about before that appointment's over. On the flip side, when you don't write it down and emotions get a hold of you, oftentimes our thoughts leave mm-hmm. our mind and we're only focused on, oh my gosh, they think that I am wrong. Another very important tip that I have learned through the years is that individuals, when we disagree with someone, they're is often not someone who is 100% right and someone who's 100% wrong. If you feel like, oh my gosh, that person's 100% wrong, I would say, think to yourself, you know what? There is 10% right in what they are saying. And so when you focus on there must be 10% that they are saying that is correct right now, it goes back to being curious about what they're saying, and it builds a conversation rather than building an argument about something. And curiosity, once again, can get us out of trouble and allows for this development of trust and respect to where folks are having more shared decision making when it comes to a plan for their child.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because I think what you're saying is that it disarms you, first of all, a little bit, you know, from that attack or freeze and flight,
yes.
doesn't
yes.
it? And it forces you to have to consider, if there's 10% of what they're saying is right, you've got to listen.
You have to listen.
Yeah, you have to listen,
yeah.
And you're disarmed. You're not really on the attack or in that confrontational mode anymore.
Yeah. And I tell you, you know, the other great thing about the 10% trick is that it forces our mind to not focus on the negative things that are wrong. It forces our mind to find something positive that is right. And by doing that, it's such a great mindset shift that really allows folks to have trust and better understanding, because they're focusing on things that really matter rather than focusing on the negative.
I think that's actually a good tip for parents and children.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And,
yeah.
You know, that focus is exactly why gratitude practice works. And what I mean by that is, you know, we oftentimes hear we need to be practicing gratitude in our lives. As part of a daily kind of self-care ritual, I myself, and I teach other people, write down three specific things that you are grateful for. It can't be general. Like, you can't write down, I'm grateful for my children. It needs to be very specific. I'm grateful for the conversation I had with my daughter yesterday. And by doing that on a regular basis, it again shifts your mind to looking for positive things in your day. And there's been lots of studies looking at happiness, and people that do gratitude practices like that, and the you can really increase your happiness by just taking a moment to write down three specific things every day.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And it's a great practice. I mean, it's something that I do as well. And what other self-care tips would you give parents who are feeling very stressed or worried?
Yeah. So I mentioned journaling earlier, and there is a lot of power in being able to write down your thoughts. And, initially, it may be very discombobulated that you may be just writing down some random thoughts that are going in your mind. And that's okay. It doesn't need to be cohesive. You don't need to be editing what you write. Just write it down, because writing allows us to put on paper what is in our mind, and then we can look at it. And that looking at it allows us to be a little more objective about it. So there's a lot of benefit to giving yourself some space to write, especially when you're stressed. That is incredibly helpful in healing.
Those are some really great tips. And what else, sort of like from the young person's perspective, they've just been given a diagnosis, and how do they process that as well? Because we've been speaking about the parents, but also as a child, and what if they can't look to their parents
Right.
for that support? And plus, we are still alone in anything that happens to us. It's you've got the support, but it's still you on your own dealing with it at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah. And yes, that is true. You can have life happen to you, or life happened for you. And but at the end of the day, like, it's up to you on which of those perspectives are you going to take. And for the young children and teens and young adults, they're going to have emotions that may be similar, but also may be very different than what the adults are experiencing. And having somebody to be able to tell and help process those feelings is so important. I will share a quick story about my daughter to know that sometimes we as parents don't even realize what's going on in their minds. And so making sure that they have some sort of outlet for them to express themselves is really important. When we were in a tiny school bathroom, and I had diagnosed my daughter with diabetes, I knew right away what the diagnosis was and started crying. And she looked at me and she's like, "What's the matter?" And I said, "Well, you have diabetes, and the floodgates are opened, and I'm crying." And she says, "Am I going to die?" And I said, "No, sweetheart, like, you're not going to die." And she said, "Well, why are you crying?" And I said, "Well, because I don't want you to have diabetes." And by this point in time, now she's crying and doesn't even understand why she is. But we grab her things, we get in the car to go to the emergency room. And on the drive to the emergency room, she said, "Mom, I need to tell you something." And I said, "Okay, what do you need to tell me?" And she said, "Well, I want the doctors to tell you first what's wrong with me, and you tell me." And I said, "Well, sweetheart, they're going to tell you you have diabetes. Like, there's not going to be any surprises. What else is on your mind? And she said, I don't want anyone rushing around. And I said, rushing around? Like, what do you mean? And she said, well, on television, anytime I see somebody in a hospital and folks are rushing around, the patient always dies. So if I see them rushing around, I'll know it's because I'm going to die. So in that moment, a light bulb went off in my mind as a parent and as a physician who had taken care of kids, the realization that their thoughts and their feelings are very present, but we don't know sometimes what their perspective is if we don't allow for communication and allow for the opportunities for them to express themselves. And, you know, as a parent, sometimes though that perspective may be silly to us, like my daughter's, you know, if rushing around means that you're gonna die, like to me, that's silly as an adult, but to that young mind, that was critical to her and was the thing that was driving fear. And so when we understand that a young person's reality is very different than ours as an adult sometimes, is important, but we also shouldn't shame them for having a different perspective or opinion. Like in that moment, I didn't say, that's the craziest thing I've heard. There is no, you know, it was an understanding that she was scared so that we could have more of a discussion about fear rather than beating her up for why she thought fear was going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's about respecting their perspective rather than trying to understand,
Yes.
and not ridicule, isn't it? Because they want to be heard, don't
Right.
they? So
Right.
that's very good, because that was her logic, and you
Yes.
can't question someone else's logic or how they got to
Right.
that. So no, that was very, very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
So any last words to parents out there?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, use opportunities to have conversations with your children. And, you know, oftentimes as parents, we want the best for our child. But sometimes putting them on restriction or giving them consequences for things like a bad grade isn't necessarily the best thing we can be doing as a parent. And what I mean by that is if my child comes home and on the report card is a C, I could look at that and say, you know what? You need to do better next time. I expect you to get an A. Like you're no seeing your friends until we bring this grade up, et cetera. That's one way of handling it. But another way which I encourage is looking at that and saying, oh, I noticed that you got a C. Can you talk to me about why? Like, what's going on? Do you think you tried your hardest? Do you think that, you know, the teacher's teaching you well? Like, allow it to be a kind of path to a conversation rather than immediately saying they could have done better. Because maybe there's something going on, and that is our clue as a parent that there's something underlying those types of behaviors.
Exactly, which would have been missed.
Right. Right.
otherwise.
And you wouldn't have had that conversation with them about maybe they're getting bullied in that class and that's why they're doing poorly. And having opening that door for that conversation will benefit your child more in the long run rather than saying you need to do better. No going out with your friends until I see this grade go up. Thinking about those opportunities when we can again invoke curiosity in conversations with our kids.
Yeah, no, that's a really good tip. So, Maureen, it's been lovely speaking to you. And if people would like to find out more about you and perhaps work with you, then how could they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is MaureenMichelleMD.com. Michelle is spelt with one L. And I'm there. I'm on Instagram as MaureenMichelleMD. I would love to answer questions or work with folks and allow them to learn a little bit more about me and what I do.
Okay, that's lovely. So, thank you so much, Maureen, for your time. It's been invaluable. There've been so many gems here and nuggets to take away. So, that's been really good and very helpful. Thank you.
No, I really appreciate you and appreciate your audience for allowing us to have this conversation and having them listen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'm sure you'd agree that there were so many nuggets of information throughout the interview. What I found especially helpful was Maureen's suggestion to make a list of questions to take with you when you visit your child's doctor, the power of journaling, as well as tips for teenagers dealing with an illness. If you would like to find out more about the great work Maureen is doing, then head over to her website, www.maureenmichellemd.com, or find her on social media platforms. And if you feel like reaching out for a chat, or you have a story you'd like to share, then DM me below or send me an email at shari@sharilewisandfrisch.com. Thank you for listening and take care. Until the next episode.